Morning, everyone.
So today we're going to continue our series through Psalms. It's called The God Who Is There. And so I want to start off by asking a question. What's your biggest fear? What are you most afraid of? I know for me, it's heights. I absolutely can't stand heights. I'm really terrified from them, like coming from a high place and looking down, you know, you just get clouded and your heart starts pumping and your hands shake. Ugh. Whenever we go to like amusement parks, I can do some roller coasters, but man, drops, those will kill me. Those will kill me. Yeah, they're definitely something I would avoid completely. Now, think about your biggest fear. How would you feel if you had to confront it? Will you have courage? Will you head on and take it on one by one? Do you think that if you were to face your biggest fear right now, that you will have peace? I want you to open to Psalm 23. It's page 458 on the Pew Bibles. And today we're going to look over verse 4. And it says this: "Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil." This is the verse that we're going to focus on. The verse is going to focus on our fears. And not just specific fears, but circumstances and uncertain times. Times that we fear and dread the most. David makes a really, really bold statement here. He says, "Even though I walk through the valley shadow of death, I will fear no evil." He's essentially saying that if I were to confront my biggest fear right now, I'm not going to fear it. No evil that comes in my face will be able to shake me. That the thing that would cloud his mind with anxiety, the thing that will pump his heart, the thing that will shake his hand, if he were to face that, he'll have peace. He won't find another way. He won't go around it. He says, "Even though I walk through the valley," he's not going around it. He's not taking an alternative route. He's going through it. He's going to face it. And he knows that in this time, he will be comforted. Now, I don't know about you, but looking at this verse, it sounds insane. I mean, how could you face your biggest fear with comfort? With peace? Why would you, what can compel you to walk through it, to face it head on? I mean, listen to the picture that he paints, the valley of shadow of death. Let's take a moment to just think of what that entails. It is a picture of darkness, deep darkness. You know, if you look around, there's no light in the valley. There's no signs of life. It's a place that will be void, devoid of hope. This is a place that will fill you up with anxiety, fill you up with dread. If you think about it, this is where chaos will rule all over. If any person tries to go through the valley of shadow of death, there's no guarantee they'll survive. It has death on it. The valley of death. Because at every turn that this person makes, there will be predators and pits. And any man who tries to go through here or falls off the path will not be able to come back because the deep darkness and the bottomless pits will consume them. This is what I think of when I think of the valley of shadow death. A person where no man returns. This is a place where people will feel isolated and cut off. And dark thoughts will cloud their minds. Things like, "Where is God in my time of need?" Or, "How could God lead me here?" Or, "This is very unfair of God to put me here or to let this thing happen." These thoughts in the valley of shadow of death will linger. They'll be all we think about. And it feels like in the valley will be more and more isolated from God. This is the picture that David paints for us. This is where darkness and the forces of evil reign, where chaos reigns. This is an image of despair and misery. Now, if I were put in a situation like that, I don't think I would have acted like David. I wouldn't say, I'm going to walk through it. If I'm forced to, I'm just going to run and sprint right through this valley. I wouldn't be peaceful or comforted as David is. And you have to wonder, what is it that made David so comforted? I mean, let's read it again. Even though I walk through the valley of shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Because God is with him. And again, like last week, the answer to this question is God. God is with David, and God is with him, and because of this, David can face his biggest fear. And so can we. If God puts us in the valley of shadow of death, he is with us. And this is the climax of the psalm. Because, think about it, as great as the green pastures are, and the still waters, they're very rare. Most of life consists of valleys upon valleys. Sometimes we get just brief periods of joy and peace, but then it's on to the next valley. On to the next valley of shadow of death. And this verse is probably the climax, just because of how critical it is in life. How this is the situation that we'll always face throughout our lives. And again, the answer is simple. It's because God is with us. God is our shepherd. And because of this, we should just rely and trust in our shepherd. Now, before we continue on, I'd like us to pray. Lord God, teach us to trust in you in the valley. Lord, when you put us in that situation, or even if we're in that situation right now, teach us to trust you. Show us, God, that you're nearby. And Lord, I pray that we would find peace and comfort in you. May your spirit work mightily today in the people in here today, Lord. And I pray that you would reveal yourself and that your presence would be everywhere today. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, the reason why this passage is so important is because it emphasizes that there will be periods of joy and peace, but most of life is through valleys. The joy and peace is only a reflection of what's coming in the future. When we're in heaven, where we'll be celebrating the marriage of Jesus and his church, where there will be a place where there's no more suffering. But until we get to that place, we'll be passing through valleys upon valleys. See, the genius of Psalm 23 is this. The first three verses shows us a picture of what the good times are. And in verse 4 is what the picture of the bad times are going to be like. And David makes this dramatic contrast that in the good times and in the bad times, God is with us. And verse 1 is still very much relevant, that the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. This is what he wants to hammer on, that in the valley, God is still our shepherd and will still be satisfied. See, this is our first point for today. We should not fear uncertain and difficult times because God is with us. That's what the valley represents. Uncertain and difficult times. There are shadows looming around the path, and the path is full of death, and these are the things that represent the times where we feel uncertain about what's going to happen. The times where we're just struggling to just wake up. You know, for some of us, it could be like the hardships of getting a job, or the hardships of our job. For some of us, it could be health circumstances of someone we deeply care about. Or it could be our own health circumstances. It could be any kind of relational problem we have, whether it's family or friendships that are restrained. Now, the reason why David is at peace is because he knows that God is with him. He reminds himself of this. He says, "Even though I walk through the valley of shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me." It's like he's saying it almost like, right now, I'm in this difficult time. Now remember that God is with me. God is with me, and I won't fear anything. Because he reminds himself of this, he can find peace and comfort in God's leading. Because he reminds himself that the Lord is good and his steadfast love endures forever. He reminds himself that God is his shepherd and God will meet all of his needs, just like he did in the pastures, and just like he did on the still waters, and just like the way God restores us and the way God leads us in paths of righteousness, even in the valley, God is still our shepherd. Now last week we saw that one of the ways the Lord takes care of us, our shepherd takes care of us, is by leading us in paths of righteousness. This is from verse 3. He says, "He restores my soul. He leads me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake." Well, sometimes the path of righteousness would lead you straight to the valleys. Do you ever think of that? But sometimes our shepherd who goes in front of us will lead us straight into difficult and uncertain times. That it's actually his will to do this. Why would that be? Well, it could be because of what real shepherds do. Did you know that the best pastures are in the mountains? When we first meet David, we don't find him at his home. We find him in the hills, where he's tending his flock. And it's because the best kind of pastures, the ones that you would use to feed your flock, are in the mountains. And David knows this. David knows that efficient shepherds have to make their way through high countries and hills in order to tend their flock. And in order to get to the high places in the high countries, they have to go through valleys. And sometimes the valleys is the fastest place to get into those higher grounds, so to say. Some of us here might be longing for a higher kind of experience with God. You know, to be spiritually rich, to be spiritually mature, to experience the Lord in an intimate way, and in a better way. Well, I think that in the same way that shepherds lead their flock to higher ground, through the valleys, God brings us to a higher experience of him through the valleys of our lives. See, when God puts us through trials, when God puts us through suffering, that's when we can experience God more. That's when we become more mature. That's when his spirit is transforming us one glory after another, after his image. See, the reason he does this is he wants to test our faith and refine it. God wants to accomplish something great. And that could be refining our faith, or that could be just having a much closer intimacy with him. See, in the valleys, all of our idols will fail. All the things that we cling to will not be able to save us when it comes to the valley. When it comes to the uncertain and difficult times, the best thing that our idols can do is give us blissful ignorance. But at the end of the day, we have to confront our situation. Our idols fail, and this is a time where God's light shines the brightest. This is how we can come to know the Lord. We see that only God remains. That nothing else in this world can help us through these trials. The reason God is more close to us in the valley is because just like David knows that in order for his sheep to have any sense of peace through the valley, that he has to be nearby, God knows that he has to be even closer to us in the valleys of our lives, just so we would have peace. And it's in the valleys that God can show us that only he is enough to satisfy our souls. Just like verse 1. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. And I think it's because of this intimate relationship with God that there's no fear in David. Because he really believes in the presence of the Lord. He believes that God is bigger than the uncertainty of life. That God is greater than whatever comes across his way. That God is powerful enough to save him from any circumstance. See, David trusts the Lord's will to lead him. There's no suffering, no evil, no trial, no disaster that can make him quake because he knows that God is with him. And it's these times that we have to remember promises that God has given us in Scripture. Like, for example, I'll give you John 16, verse 33, where it says, I have said these things to you that in me you may have peace. In the world you will have tribulation, but take heart, I have overcome the world. So even if there are trials in our ways, God has overcome them. God is greater than them. God is sovereign and he won't let us endure something that we can't. And because of this, we should find our peace and comfort in him. It says that you may have peace in me. That we may have peace in Jesus in the times of the valley. And we need to remember who is with us. Because dark thoughts are going to cloud our heads. And we're not going to be thinking straight. And so we have to put a lot of effort to remember who is with us. So ask yourself, where do you find your peace when you're in the valley? I'm telling you right now that whatever it is, it's not going to help you. It's going to fail you one way or another. Because at the end of the day, there's only God is enough to get us through these trials. We need to remember that it is God that's leading us in this journey. David knew this and he wanted to emphasize this fact. He said, you are with me. He's walking in the valley of shadow of death. I can imagine him not wanting to do that, to even skip out on the valley, but this is what God wants. God's leading him to walk in the valley, to walk in a slow pace. And just in the same way that sheep trust their shepherd, David trusts his shepherd. That the joy that he experienced in verse 1 to 3 will be still there. That God's joy will be consistent. And it's because of this shepherd-sheep relationship that God can trust, that David can trust God, that God's presence would be enough for David, that even if everything crumbles, like all of his idols crumble, and no one else follows him, that in the end, God will still be there. And he'll remember the God that he serves, the God who loves him, who cares for him, who has immense power beyond what he can imagine. God was faithful for him, faithful to him. See, when David does this, the unknown will not make him spiral into despair. He will be secured, filled with joy and peace. I can imagine this is what sustained him through his times when Saul pursued him, when Absalom betrayed him. I mean, imagine how David reacted to these things. He never betrayed God. He never complained to him. He had doubts and he prayed about it. But in the end, he still knew that God is with him. That God's promises are sure. He knows that his shepherd is nearby and that's all he ever needed to calm his soul. And this is what we have to remember. We have to remember that we have a personal God who's intimate with us, who cares about every part of our life, who knows everything in our lives, even our fears. He cares about them. See, God promises to never leave us or forsake us. And even if people do, he'll always be there. And we have to trust in him. We have to trust that he's our shepherd. And wherever he leads us, we'll follow him. See, we must look to Christ if we're going to persevere in this life. Like in Hebrews 12, it says, therefore, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, Let us also lay aside every weight and sin which clings so closely. And let us run with endurance the race that is set before us. Looking to Jesus, the founder and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is seated at the right hand of the throne of God. We need to keep looking to Christ as our example, as our strength, as our confidence as we run through the race. We need to remember God's role in our life, that He's our shepherd, that He'll be with us wherever. And because He's our shepherd, we have to walk with Him and trust and obey Him. And sometimes that means going through the valley instead of going around it. That means enduring suffering and trial, even if it's not what you want. So we have to believe that our shepherd is enough to protect us, to guide us, and to lead us. This is how we're going to find peace and comfort. We have to really believe that the evils of this world are not greater than God. That when we look at the world and we look at how evil people are, and we see how much power and how much higher they are than us, that we have to remember that even greater than that is God. And we should find comfort in that. We need to fix our eyes on Him. And we need to fix our eyes to what's beyond the valley. See, this is the significance of this passage. Our relationship with God has to reach this point. It has to reach a point where we can say, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want," in the good times and in the bad times. You can't preach to yourself when you're in the valley. The valley is where your faith is going to get tested. It will either bring you closer to God in this amazing, intimate way, or your doubts and your dreads will overcome you and you'll be further and further away from God. And so the time is now to start harboring that relationship with God. Because when the evils of life come crashing down, we need something that will help us persevere. We need something that will make us say, "I will fear no evil." So how do we do this? How do we get this shepherd-sheep relationship with God? Well, I like what he says in John 10. It says, "I'm the good shepherd. I know my own, and my own know me. Just as the Father knows me, and I know the Father, and I lay my life down for the sheep. And I have other sheep that are not of this fold." This is us. "I must bring them also, and they will listen to my voice. So there will be one flock, one shepherd. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. I give them eternal life, and they shall never perish, and no one will snatch them out of my hand." You have to hear Jesus' voice. You have to hear Him call you to follow Him, to surrender your life to Him. The sheep doesn't own the shepherd. The shepherd owns the sheep. And so we have to surrender everything we have and follow God wherever He leads us, even if it means going through the valley. You have to confess with your mouth and believe in your hearts that He really is Lord, that He really is the shepherd, that He alone is enough. And it's only through that we can finally say that even though I walk through the valley of shadow of death, and even though I have to face my biggest fear, and even though things are uncertain and difficult, that I won't fear anything. I won't fear the evils and disasters of this world because You, my personal God, my shepherd, is nearby. That even death, even if death is close to me, I won't fear that. Because I have a God who promises me that nothing can snatch me out of His hand. No evil, no suffering. That I'll be always secure in His hand. That death will not be the end of things, but it'll be a beginning with Him in His heavenly kingdom. So if you're longing for this kind of peace, or if you are in the valley and you're longing for peace and security, then come to the Lord. He'll never reject anyone that comes to Him. And He'll bring you in His flock. And He'll lead you. He's not going to give you an easy life. No, he'll lead you through valleys upon valleys upon valleys. But now you have a security. Now you can say, you are with me. And that's enough. See, God's presence wasn't the only thing that made David comforted. Let's continue. It says, even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. See, David also found God's rod and staff to be comforting. And this is our second point. His protection and guidance should comfort us in these times. In the times of valley, we need to find that God's instruments are enough. So what does the staff and what does the rod mean? What do they look like? Well, to give you some context, the rod was used by shepherds to fight and strike other animals who want to harm the shepherd's sheep. So in the same way, the Lord protects us from predators who want to harm us, whether that means their spiritual powers or rulers or just somebody who wants to harm us in any way. But you might think, well, Christians are persecuted everywhere in the world. So doesn't that mean that this is wrong, that God can't protect us? Well, that's true, but it doesn't necessarily mean that God's incapable of protecting us or doesn't care at all about our well-being. See, sufferings for Christian is actually a blessing from God. Like it says in James 1, count it all joy, my brothers, when you meet trials of various kinds. For you know that the testing of your faith produces steadfastness, and let steadfastness have its full effect, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking nothing. And so if God chooses to give us suffering, it's for a good reason. If he lets the enemy persecute us, there is a reason for that. And I know that it will be for our good, whether it means we're just going to increase in our faith, or that we'll be closer to him, or that we will have the joy of suffering for Christ and be united in him in his suffering, and it will serve for his glory. So you have to remember that God won't let the enemy destroy us apart from his will. Satan can't do anything apart from God's will. Remember the story of Job? He couldn't do anything to Job unless the Lord allowed it. And so if God chooses to give us suffering, it's for our benefit. And if God chooses to put us through the valley, it's because there's something greater on the other side that he wants to bring us to. This means that we can rejoice in God in the valley. We can look at suffering and say, this is a blessing from God. That something that will serve for our good and for God's glory. In 2 Corinthians it says, but he said to me, my grace is sufficient for you, and my power is made perfect in weakness. Therefore I will boast all the more gladly of my weaknesses, so that the power of Christ may rest upon me. For the sake of Christ, then, I am content with weaknesses, insults, hardships, persecutions, and calamities. For when I'm weak, then I'm strong. Do you understand what this means? It means that when God puts us in the valley, that's when he can really display his grace. Where he can show his power and strength through our weaknesses. He loves to use broken people, and he loves to use weak and broken people's situations for his glory. This is a time where he can really show us that he is enough. And we will come to know the Lord. Another symbol for the rod is God's authority and power. That God's authority and power is something that will give us comfort and peace. If you remember, God used Moses' rod to demonstrate his power to the Pharaoh. And it's supposed to bring assurance to the people of Israel that their God is greater than the Pharaoh. That their God is greater than the highest man in the world or in the region. See, when God shows us his power, either right now or in the stories in the Old Testament and in the New Testament, these things should cause us to have assurance that God is my shepherd. that because that God still exists and He's steadfast in all His ways, that if God is with us, literally with us, then nothing can be against us. These things should cause us to be bold in our faith. If it means standing up to what's right, or it means telling someone about Jesus, or acting in faith on something that's stirred in your heart, you don't need to be scared of going through the valley, because you have a God that's even greater than that. This is why David's at peace. Everything he could possibly need. Safety, guidance, protections, a future. It's all taken care of. Nothing can rob him of what God has given to him. Nothing in this world, nothing in the spiritual world. He knows what it's like to protect a flock, to give them peace. And he knows that if he submits to God and let him lead him, he can find the same peace and comfort that he gives his own sheep. And we have to have the same mentality if we're going to get through the valleys. We need to trust God and His leading. We need to remember that God is greater than our enemies. We have to remember that God is nearby. We have to remember that God can protect us and wants us to be satisfied in Him. He wants us to have peace in Him. He wants to satisfy everything we have, and He wants us to reach a point where we can say, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want." I want that truth to sink into you today, because that's what this passage is all about. That God is enough in the good times and the bad times. The rod is also a symbol for discipline. And it's kind of, if you think of it that way, it's like David is saying, when you discipline me, I am comforted. You ever think of it that way? That when someone disciplines you, that should be your comfort. But that's what he says. Like a father to his own son, God disciplines his children. And we should find comfort in that. God takes us away from wandering away from him, or from indulging in things that will destroy our faith, from sinful things that will destroy our faith. Sometimes God has to give us tough love, and he has to use the rod to discipline us. And he does it all with love, because he doesn't want us to be destroyed or be sunk in or be swallowed in by bottomless pits. God can do this using his word, or he can use it with other people, but the point is that God disciplines us and leads us back into him. Can you see that? Can you find comfort in the way God disciplines you? Sometimes God will put you through the valley just so he can discipline you. Just so he can tear down all of your idols. Sometimes God will pierce you with his word and convict you of your sin. Will we find joy in that? When the word pierces the division of our soul and spirit, the joints and marrows, are we ready to have the word discern the thoughts of our minds and the intentions of our hearts? Do we want God to guide us in the path of righteousness and to discipline us if we go astray? This is what God does. This is what shepherds do to their sheep. He makes us confront our sins. He convicts us using his word. And he turns us all around so that we would go back to the path of righteousness. Remember, he does all of this for his name's sake. And so if we've wandered away from God, don't resist his discipline. Don't resist God's convicting way of pulling you back. Because in the end, God wants what's best for you. He wants his sheep to flourish. He doesn't always have to be rough with us with a rod. Sometimes he disciplines us with gentleness and kindness. And that's what the staff is. The staff is God's way of connecting to us. Like a shepherd who's using his stick to touch one of his favorite sheep, to bring it closer to him, to gently lead it away from veering off the path. You know how God does this with us? He uses His Spirit. The Holy Spirit that gives us comfort and counseling. This is what God does. He connects us gently. He doesn't always have to smack us and discipline us. But God will do it if He has to. Sometimes God just restricts us and uses His staff to veer us away from going wherever we want to go. God is able to bring us closer to Himself using the staff. And we should find comfort in that. That God cares for us. That guides us gently. Because in the end, the valleys don't last forever. They don't. It's only a temporary place. David said, I'm walking through the valley. And so, at the end of the day, the valley is going to end. And beyond the valley, something even better than the green pastures and the still waters. Because at the end of our spiritual journey, we will land to our true home with God, where there will be no more tears, no more suffering. This will be a place that's filled with so much joy that the best times we have in the pastures and the still waters cannot even compare to it. This is the place that God is leading us to. And it doesn't matter how many times we go through the valley, that's the end goal. And so when we look to Jesus, let's look at Him as our example. And let's look beyond to where He's at, seated at the right hand of the Father. And one day we'll be with Him. But He's always with us because He's our shepherd, even in the valley. Let's pray. Lord, thank You that You are with us, even in the valley of shadow of death. God, You are such an amazing God, and I pray that we would be reminded of this fact. And I pray that Your discipline and Your power and Your gentleness will bring us comfort. And I pray that each one of us will find that if we trust in You, we won't want anything. I pray that we would be able to establish that shepherd-sheep relationship so that we can find everything that we need in You. In Your name, amen.